Welcome to the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Series podcast. Each week, we'll learn from leaders who are driving change and making an impact. Now here's your host, the CEO of the Youngstown Publishing Company, Jeff Leo Herman. I got the courage in me, let go and let it release.
Don't stop from feeling it, it's time for me to break the stone. Today, we're joined by Art Daly. Art is currently the Senior Vice President of Eastern Gateway Community College, a great guy and a fellow kid from Brookfield. So Art shares his keys to success, and those are vision and passion, and you'll hear it coming through in the interview. So thank you so much for joining us today. So Art, as a child, do you remember your career aspirations?
So as a young person, I always aspired to be in the restaurant industry. As you see, I love food. I love every aspect of cooking and things of that. So when I was young, that's what my focus was on. It was two-part, I should say. My dad was a contractor as I grew up, and I always said, well, I'm gonna be in construction, but I also love restaurants. So, and that was my first career path when I graduated from college. And I loved everything about that industry. Learned about it, read about food, how to cook, how to do things. So that was really my early inspiration of what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Now, you've used that early inspiration towards your career today?
I do. I got to tell you, I reflect on it, right? So when I first graduated and I got my first real, like I had a wonderful foundation to grow from when I first graduated. It was with Quaker Steak and Lube in downtown Sharon.
Right.
It was,
you know,
the original right. Quaker Steak and Lube, right? So what a great place to learn, because they were very innovative, very cutting edge on a lot of things that they did. So very loosely managed, I would say. I don't want to be insulting to the concept, but it was a learning curve, right? So then when I left there, I got into the Olive Garden. And what a tremendous learning experience. The two gentlemen that I learned a lot from, one name was John Slyke, the other was Ron Magruder, CEO and Vice President, right? I watched them as they went, and they were restaurant people. And they were hands-on. So when you talk about how does that equate to what I do today, I'm more of a hands-on individual. I want to be part of those solutions. Although I see I'm at a much higher level to oversee the college as a whole, but I still, you know, if I need to wash windows outside, I'll wash windows outside. If something needs to be done, and I think my roots started from that, you get things done, you just dig in and you do it. And we kind of do that here. I do that on a daily basis in my management style.
You know, I actually remember that.
What's that?
That you were at the Olive Garden, and you know, my sister was there.
Yeah, she was at the Olive Garden. She was in Orlando.
Right.
Yeah, she was down in Orlando.
She was in corporate location.
And that's where I wanted to be. You know, I wanted to get in operations first. I was always operations guy, and I think I learned that from my dad. My dad was all hands-on. He owned his own business, but very small business, but he was all hands-on. Did some of the stuff out, but was hands-on as well. And then That was how I was developed, right? My dad, here's your shovel. You go dig that, you know, footer. You go pour this concrete. You go do this, right? So it was more hands-on.
That's a Brookfield thing?
And this very is, well, I think, could be.
For everyone here, Art and I, how long have we known each other?
So since diapers. Honestly, if you think about it, I got a few years on you.
Yeah,
but yeah, we've known each other at a very young age. So I think that's really, it could be a Brookfield thing. It very well could be the fact that when you look around at all the people that we associated ourselves with, not too many highfalutin people out there that stuck their nose up and walked around and said, hey, I'm better than everybody else. We grew up in a very good time, I believe.
Right, right. Grit.
Grit, exactly.
Hard work, grit.
Absolutely.
Get it done.
Yeah. You know, remembering, you know, again, I go back to your father as well. You know, there's a lot of things that I remember interacting with him, and a lot of it was some of those band trips that took, and your father was a very good influence on how to, hey, this is, you stay, fly right, do the right thing, stay straight, everything will be okay, right? And that I learned a little bit from your dad as well.
We're able to raise a little hell, but you pay for the, you know, there's consequences, right?
Absolutely.
But you have a little fun.
You have a little fun, yeah.
Right. So would you say your leaders that you looked up to as a child or into your high school years, more local people that you can literally observe, or more, you know, the famous nationally?
No, I would say locally, because those were the most impactful to you, right?
Right.
So, you know, I go back to my dad and my mom. I mean, my mom worked hard. I mean, you know, when we were growing up as kids, my mom worked in real estate. My dad built houses. It was a great synergy together for them. Learned a lot from that experience. I was very blessed by having parents like that. But then, you know, look at the other folks. Mr. Carrilla, you know, he was an influence in our city. I mean, the man did everything for the community. He was very community driven.
Right.
Mr. Strimbu, who I grew up across the street from, that just hardworking American people that wanted to just grow and build a company and maintain the family businesses. So we had a lot of people that we could reach out to in our local community as influencers.
So do you think today too many national figures are put on a pedestal and there's not enough appreciation for local leaders?
Yeah, I would say there could be. You know, because of social media, because, you know, the telephone and it's right at your fingertips and you're scrolling through every day, we really don't look at a lot, in my opinion, at local leaders and what they do. You know, we've got a tremendous amount of folks in this area. I mean, I'll go back to Mr. Cavelli, right? I mean, Sam Cavelli built a thriving business from McDonald's to Panera to O'Charley's. You know, Herb Washington, another man who got in, I'm citing food people,
yeah,
as
right,
you see right now,
right?
But those are individuals that just worked hard. And I will tell you that the restaurant industry, that's why I think it's so important that people learn from an industry, that's hard work. And I think people can learn an awful lot of how to manage things, how to deal with stress, how to overcome obstacles in that specific industry.
And
it happens.
Diverse set of employees, right?
Absolutely, very diverse.
I mean, you have everyone from the front door, the people greeting,
yes,
to the cooks, to the dishwashers.
Absolutely.
To
you're
the
dealing
patrons,
with a multiple group of individuals, all in different mindsets, and they have their own separate set of goals, basically, when they come into work. And you have to bring those all together for one unified purpose of taking care of the guests that come through your door.
Right.
So it's a different type of environment, but it's one, and it's constantly moving and changing and evolving, because think about all the things they're going through now with COVID, all those changes and modifications you have to make. The restaurant industry, to me, is that one industry that is multifaceted. Lots of management styles that have to come together to make it all work under one
right.
roof.
So then today, how do you motivate and inspire a diverse set of people towards a goal? Like what tactics do you use?
I think in all honesty, you have to communicate to those individuals. You really have to, and I got to tell you, Jeff, we were just talking about communications a few minutes ago. If you are not sharing your vision and your passion with people and what the ultimate goal is of your organization, you're going to lose a lot of people. There's no buy-in after that, right? And
right.
even if people don't tend to buy into the whole story, you know, because a lot of us are numbers driven anymore and data is the big king right now. But in my opinion, if you don't get that buy-in, at least some degree, you're going to lose your employees. And you have to communicate that out. And you have to share with them as to why. That's one thing I did learn back when I was growing up in the restaurant industry. You know, people question, well, why do we do it this way? Well, if you don't temp it at a certain temperature and you make sure that this is perfect, somebody's going to get sick out there. It could be your family member. So we kind of do that same thing. And today, that's my management style. Explain the whys. Why are we doing this? Well, this is why. We have to do this to make sure that our students are taken care of, our faculty, our staff, everybody. So if everybody's on the same page and communicated outright, I think you have a successful organization.
Right. Do you find yourself repeating yourself? Do you feel like you repeat yourself all the time?
All the time.
Beat the drum?
Well, here you have to, because in all honesty, if you don't, who will? Like the vision of the college, you know, as a senior leader of the college, if I'm not sharing that and I'm not beating that drum consistently, that message gets lost along the way. And sometimes that does happen. Trust me when I tell you, we get busy. You know, we got construction going on. We've got COVID going on. We've got schedules going on. Sometimes you can lose that message, and it's hard. But you got to regroup, bring it back together, and make sure that everybody's on the same pathway.
So Art, do you have any favorite leadership books, or would you say you learn by doing?
So there was a book I read a long time ago called Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. Now, what a great book it was. I'm thinking to myself, who's going to read this book, right? It's sitting on a shelf at Barnes & Noble's, and I'm like, but it was referred to me by one of my professors at YSU, and they said, hey, if you want to learn about leadership styles, read this book. So I grabbed this book, and you would think it was... you would think it would be choppy. You know, it's just the title in itself wouldn't mean, well, Attila the Hun, what kind of really leadership skills did he have? But I learned a great deal. And it was all about making sure, one of the biggest themes of the entire book was about making sure everybody believed in the vision and bought in. And if they didn't buy in, then guess what? Maybe there's a different place for you to go. Maybe there's other opportunities for you out there. But it was really straightforward as that. Now, there were different segments in that book that broke down how to do things and how, what not to do and what to do to bring people into your world. But in all honesty, it was all about single purpose of getting things done. And that book was great.
How do you evaluate if people are buying in, if your peers and colleagues and stakeholders are buying into the vision and the mission?
Well, I think it goes back to communication, right? We're always talking about communication. You know, as much as I sit back and, you know, and I'm not trying to make fun of any communication major out there,
right,
but I never bought into that, oh, it's communications, blah, 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 blah. There is tremendous value in how you communicate and how you share your values and vision. And my thing is, if you can show it in a passionate way, mm-hmm. I think it's one of the biggest things. We have a lot of great leaders out there today, but they lack passion. They lack that emotional state that needs to draw people in.
Right.
That's the biggest thing that great leaders can do, is not only do they make sure you understand the message and the vision, but it's passion, it's who you are. When you become that vision and that passion and you share that with people, you will get the buy-in with no problems whatsoever.
Right. So it's consistent communication, right?
It is. It's over and over again. It can't stop.
Right, because if you're not doing it, no one else will, correct?
You're exactly right. Well, I mean, we have leaders of the college, but it's all of our leadership responsibilities to go out and make sure we're sharing the message and continuously sharing the message. And I think that's where leaders happen on all levels. You know, we have managers, we have directors, we have, you know, program chairs. We have a lot of leadership under our senior leaders, so they also have to be sharing that message out as well. And it's no easy task as your company continues to grow.
Right.
I mean, we continue to grow. I mean, our enrollments are off the charts. We're the fastest growing community college in the country, and we'll be at 35,000 students by fall. And that's no easy task to keep that message straight and narrow with everybody as we continue to grow and branch out to different areas of the country.
Is there a place for quiet leaders?
I think there are, but not, in my opinion, because of who I am, not too many times.
Right.
I don't see anybody that can sit behind a desk and manage effectively. They've got to be out. They've got to be vocal. They've got to be engaged. So I would tend to say maybe there are some examples of that. I would not be one that would advocate a quiet leader.
Right. Stylistically, you have your approach. You have your methods.
Absolutely.
And that's what works.
But that's how I learned. Here's an example, and I keep going back to the restaurant industry, but it was a great place to learn, right? So when we were General Mills Restaurant, we were General Mills Restaurant, Ron Magruder, John Slight, two restaurant guys. Something happened, something went wrong, they put their aprons on, they jumped in, they did it, they were communicating and teaching along the way. To me, tremendous leadership in that.
Mm-hmm.
Move when we came to Arden Restaurants. Now, this is during the transitional phase. And I opened up several restaurants throughout the country. So we opened up one in Jackson, Michigan. I'll never forget this like it was yesterday. And the place is packed. And emotions are like, servers are just crying. They can't handle the amount of people that they have. We had the new president and vice president. And this is how much they influenced me. I can't even remember their names, right? They're standing there in the middle of the kitchen as they're watching the dish tank get
president
over.
Of the U.S.
President of the Darden Restaurants.
Oh, Darden Restaurants.
Of Darden Restaurants. In transition, we lost Ron Magruder and John Slake. We had new leadership, right? They come in, they stand, and I'm watching this. They stand in the middle of the aisle, and now the general manager, who's on the line trying to save everything that he can, they pull him off the line and said, you need to go find somebody to work in that dish tank because they're overloaded and you're not having enough dishes. They're just standing there doing absolutely nothing. That's a quiet leadership to me. That's not engaging. That's not teaching moments. That's not anything but being, well, you need to go do this. They're finger pointers, right?
Right.
So that's where I always say leaders that do that are never very good leaders.
Right.
You have to be engaged. You have to be part of the solution. You have to be teaching moments at all times. And I think that's where leaders get lost as well. Sometimes we elevate ourselves to the point that we forget that we're also mentors and teachers as well.
What does a warrior mean? It means be brave with how I treat connections.
The Brain Gain is a collaborative effort, and we'd like to thank headlining members of the coalition, including Sweeney Chevrolet Buick GMC, the Maransky Companies, and the Mahoning Valley Manufacturers Coalition. Also included are Farmers Bank Group, Youngstown State University, Eastern Gateway Community College, Cortland Bank, MS Consultants, and 898 Marketing.
Leadership from a hands-on perspective, and your curriculum here at Eastern Gateway, a lot of the courses and curriculum are hands-on jobs.
Yes.
Probably not seen as leadership opportunities, but in effect, these are all leadership opportunities.
Absolutely,
right?
They are.
Everyone.
As a student, you are teaching and learning and growing to become a future leader because you're getting a skill. You're gaining information that at someday you either are going to share that with somebody, you're going to demonstrate that you've learned it, or you may share that with the next group of people that may come through, or when you get your new first opportunity, you learn and then you give back by teaching. So those are your first stages of leadership and learning, right?
Right.
And my thing is, once you get that perspective, you have to make sure that you're giving back. You have to make sure that you're giving those teaching moments back. Then you work into our organization, it's the same way. If I'm an advisor, I'm your advisor, I'm your instructor, I'm teaching you the right path to start point A to point B. This is how you'll finish. Follow this curriculum, follow this grid, you will be successful. So those are teaching moments. We have financial aid. Teaching people about financial aid, one of the hardest things that people kind of decipher on this financial aid world, they teach, they learn, they grow. And it's just every facet in our organization are teaching moments.
So they're not only getting a certification and a degree, but also they're getting leadership instruction as well, right?
Leadership instruction is the most important thing.
Wow.
If you're paying attention as a student, and we have the right people in place teaching you about certain facets of this college, then guess what? You're developing your leadership skills.
So someone coming in learning about machining and welding, it's a very hands-on job.
Very hands-on.
But you're training them to become future leaders, right?
Oh, absolutely. Again, we go back to that. Everything you learn, we expect at some point in time, or anybody should expect, that you're going to give back and train somebody who comes behind you. So having said that, so you're being trained of a skill, no matter what that is. If it's welding, machining, we want you to take that skill set. And when you get into the workforce and you demonstrate, you know, you're a subject matter expert on that, we want you to give that back. We want you to be able to say, hey, I want to come. I'd love for people to come back and teach. I'd love for people to come in, learn, hone your craft, get years of experience under your belt, and then come back and teach. That's true leadership. I think as your teaching moments in me are what leadership's about. That, to me, ultimately says you've learned what you needed to do. I'm a great leader because I'm going to teach you how to take my job. That's what great leaders should be doing.
Right, right.
Building a succession plan and people that you can leave behind a legacy for.
Absolutely. And teaching moments come from positive motivation and inspiration, but also from mistakes.
Also from mistakes, absolutely.
So, have you ever made any leadership mistakes?
No. I am perfect. Thank you. We've all made leadership mistakes. You know, making a wrong call on something that may have happened, or looking at like if you find a specific program that maybe you think is going to be the right fit, but maybe it isn't the right fit for a college, or or any of the other opportunities I've had in leadership. We don't always make the right call. We try to minimize and reduce the amount of bad calls we make, but there are some that happen. There's no doubt about it.
What's a path to recovery? Like, what have you learned from, say, a leadership mistake?
So it's obviously recognizing that the mistake did occur. I think some people try to, well, that wasn't my fault. It's somebody else's fault that did this, and blame game on that.
Right.
So for me, it's, okay, accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm accounting for my mistake. I did make that error. How do I learn from that? Okay, so using an example, say we bring in a certificate program here that just doesn't pan out. We've invested money into it. So maybe doing a little more research, working with more employers to see if that's a certificate that's in demand. If we haven't done those things already, those are some of the mistakes that we could make, and then we have to correct them as we go forward.
So Art, what does this region need from a leadership standpoint?
It's a combination of a few things. One is we need multiple leaders to come together to grow a region. You know, it takes a village. It's always it takes a village, right? Well, it does, especially when we look at our specific region has been so hard hit over the years. You know, we're starting to get new leaders and emerging leaders that come through, but they have to work cohesively with whether it's the chamber, whether it's elected officials, whether it's a community activities group. We've got to learn to be together to be able to grow a region. And I think that's one of the things that, that our leadership in this area does well, and we need to keep improving upon that as we go and build a lot of the things we want to have come to the area.
Students of today need strong leadership, and they need to be inspired and see people that have, you know, a path, give them a path to success.
Right.
But a lot of our current leaders intentionally fly below the radar. How do you reconcile that?
Well, it depends on what capacity you mean fly below the radar, because some of the folks that we have talked about, they're leaders in their own right. I mean, within their environment, they're tremendous leaders. Mm-hmm. It's do they have a civic responsibility to take that next step forward to say, hey, okay, so I'm a great leader in my organization, but my area needs help. My region needs help.
Right.
How do we bring those people out of those? I don't want to use the word silos, because again, a lot of these people do community activism without really getting the accolades.
Like the
right?
Strimbus, right?
Strimbus. I mean, the Strimbus is the prime example. If we want to talk about that,
right.
I was thinking about Strimbu. They just go to work every day and make differences in people's lives, not only from an employment perspective, but I know they do. They're with the Community Foundation, Nick Strimbu Incorporated. I know because I was in some of those meetings. But when you look at Billy, he's not out there on the front page all the time.
Right.
But he quietly gets things done. But he's still actively out there.
Absolutely.
And having those conversations with other leaders in the community. And I think that's what. We don't maybe need them all to be out front. We may need a few leaders that want to take the front role, but everybody else can kind of be the strong leaders in the background and make things happen in their own way. And I think they're doing that. I think a lot of leaders do that.
That's the LIFT program,
that
right?
That is the LIFT program,
okay.
Yeah. So LIFT program is with the Community Foundation of Eastern Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. And Nick Strimbu Incorporated and Laurel Technical Institute and other agencies are together. It's to help people from where they are, right? Mm-hmm. So barriers we know exist in everyone's lives, but the barriers exist a lot of times without any assistance. So that's what the LIFT program helps with. The LIFT program, hey, if I can't get to school because my car broke down or I need babysitting services or whatever, and you don't have the resources to do that, LIFT is there for you to help you out of that situation. It's to overcome barriers, basically, and it's been going very well, and some of our students have taken advantage of it here at Eastern Gateway Community College.
Right.
So, and we want to keep driving that point home that everybody's going to have a barrier. How are we going to get you over that barrier? How can we help you?
Right.
And that's really what
right.
a community organization's about.
Right, right. So leadership, and when we were talking about quiet leadership before, mm-hmm. maybe that's you have quiet leaders that sit and point, right? Like
right.
you're the new GM,
mm-hmm.
that you're a rep,
yeah.
or
new president,
new
vice
president,
president.
At Olive
yeah.
Garden, go wash those dishes. Mm-hmm. Or you have people that are impacting and driving change quietly without the glory, but are
right.
really, really making a difference. And that's really what our area is all about, right?
It really is.
It's,
I mean,
yeah.
and I know, you know, maybe misinterpreting the quiet, because again,
yeah.
it there are people out there, like, you know, we definitely know that those individuals that are doing some of those things, like Billy, he's not out there on the front page, but he is out there championing the cause with other organizations, right? So when we think of quiet, in my opinion, I think of, well, maybe you're not in the newspaper as much, or maybe you're not on social media as much, but you're not quiet on the sub-level, because in the sub-level, guess what? I'm making all the contacts happen. I'm bringing people
right.
together. He brought me into it. You know, Billy
right.
picked up the phone and called me
right.
and said, hey, would you want to be, would Eastern Gateway be interested in that? So it's quiet is I guess,
right.
in the eyes of the beholder.
Right.
But because I think of as Billy still out there doing and championing his cause, but maybe not to local media.
Right, right. But and so there's a leadership component. There's an entrepreneurship component too, because who would know? And so I grew up on the, you know, in the industrial yard of Nick Strimbu Trucking.
Yep.
My dad's warehouse was
is right there
in that industrial
absolutely.
Park.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I literally watched those trucks roll through
mm-hmm.
as I was unloading trucks
right.
as a 6-year-old.
Yeah, right.
You know, down the conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's called Brookfield Truck and Trailer. So his kids, right? So he's really investing in the future, and they've spun out several businesses that, you know, that business is thriving. And once again, you never know, but they're just executing and getting
absolutely
the job done.
Absolutely. Here's something that I think is different, though. In our world, maybe we see them as silent, quiet, they're just getting it done. But in their world, they're probably blazing a trail and being very vocal in what they do.
Right.
So that's kind of where, and then I'll take, you know, we'll take one more entrepreneur who has really been blazing a trail, Carilla Fire.
Yes,
Tweed is there, man.
Talk about some, you know.
Yeah, right. So, but in our world, in our world, we really don't hear much of him, right?
Right.
But in his world, everybody hears
he's
about
raising
him.
Hell,
and he's raising hell. You're exactly right. So that's kind of where, when we look at entrepreneurs and we look at folks in their own little world, they have to be outstanding and vocal leaders because they wouldn't be able to get anything done. But in our world, really not much connection to that, so we don't hear a lot about it, but they're being successful.
Right.
And then you hear a story that says, hey, they just landed this contract or they just did this. So, wow, it's like, wow. They're, but they're blazing a trail in their own industry.
We often, students are pointed towards, once again, these national global leaders that are popular on social media, and they really can look in their own backyard. And there are leaders amongst them every single day.
And there really are. And that's why, you know, in you and I have talked about this, we're going to have SCORE make a presence on the Eastern Gateway campus because they do work with local leaders. I mean, AIM National Lease is doing a forum. I think it's next week's forum for them. And they're not on campus yet. We're going to get that set up in the next several weeks. But they look for local leaders. So that's really going to help our people, our students, anybody who wants from the community to come in and meet with these individuals to start developing business plans and create their own opportunities. That's kind of what why we want to have SCORE on campus.
Right.
That brings a local feel to people who want to be creative and people who want to start their own businesses.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll look for the SCORE program starting soon.
Yeah, very soon. Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll definitely want to make sure we promote and brand that to the community so they know where to come to for help.
Right, right.
You know, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. You know Jacob downtown here.
Right.
He's an entrepreneur, maybe not, you know, making buku dollars, but he's done amazing downtown for some of the things that he's been innovative at. And I know with the transportation, when we were at our height and he was driving people around town, giving them views of downtown, I want to give him a shout out because here's an independent kid who has started a business who really kind of flies under the radar unless you're downtown. But what an impactful business it is to be able to just get some transportation downtown. I just ride you around and I'm getting great exercise and I'm making a little bit of money at it. I mean, those are other entrepreneurs that are visionaries that see things differently than some of the rest of us do.
Do you know how to get a hold of Jacob?
I don't, but I can guarantee he'll be at the Mocha House at some point in time. He was just there on Friday, so I can get a hold of him.
Though. If someone comes downtown, how do they find him?
He normally has his banner up on his bike.
Okay.
He's got his number on it, and he's got his information about his name of his company and his number to call, and then he has the price, I think, or something on his.
So local tours, right?
Local tours. Rides you around downtown. I mean, it's great. Think about it, right? I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, right. History lesson and a big focus on what's new.
Oh, too. Yeah. I mean, my thing is when, and it's mainly at night. He doesn't do a lot during the day just because of the congestion and traffic. But him being downtown at night and people coming downtown that just want to ride around and go down. Maybe they're going down Federal or maybe they're going down Wood Street, wherever they're going. It's just really cool because you get a bike ride out of it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really neat. It's unique, right?
Right.
And that's some of the other things that great leaders are. They're innovative.
Right.
I think outside the box.
Right. Love it. Love it. So to close out, do you have a favorite leadership quote, something you review on a consistent basis?
I really don't have a great leadership quote, but I do have one from my dad.
Okay.
And it's more about how to improve yourself than anything else. He says, you always hang out with people who are as good as you, if not better. And in my opinion, that's a moniker to live by because not that it's a great leadership quote, but it's making sure that the people that you're associating with are you're gonna move yourself forward.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hang out with people that maybe will be able to make you better in the long run. And that's a quote that I always remember. I told my daughter that you always do that, and it has worked. I mean, I've always elevated myself in my career through that concept.
Right.
And I think
my
daughter has as well.
Right, so surround yourself with people with the same motivation, inspiration.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Passion, quality. Mm-hmm.
And if not better, someone who is more energized than you.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's kind of what I've always taken from that quote.
Art, this has been great. Thank you for joining us on the Brain Gain Youngstown Leadership Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been a great honor to be a part of it.
Before we go, I'd like to thank members of the Brain Gain Coalition, especially our great sponsors. Without them, none of this would be possible. So a big thank you goes to Sweeney, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, the Maransky Companies, and the Mahoning Valley Manufacturers Coalition. Thanks so much for their support. And also, please follow, like, and subscribe to this series on your favorite podcast player. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and connect with me on LinkedIn, one of my favorite places. You can find me over there at Jeff Leo Herman, and send me a message. I will see you next time. I'm growing up in this life, and to the human that I need to be, I know that I am not alone. I'm